This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48, Monday, the 20th of June, and you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, last week, the government announced it was offering free fares for all rapid KL public transport for a month. This covers the light rail transit, which is known as LRT, the mass rapid transit, MRT, the bus rapid transit, BRT, the rapid KL monorail and bus services. Phew. Basically, everything's free in the Klang Valley, almost.
As well as the KTM commuter train service. You forgot to mention that, Shawnee.
Okay, sorry. So the announcement was made in conjunction with the launch of the MRT Putrajaya line, which was opened with much fun fanfare, including cameos by certain politicians.
Indeed, indeed. A certain politician, prominent politician.
Convicted politician.
Made, took one of the debut rides on the Putrajaya line. So the rides may be free for passengers, but it will cost the government 155 million ringgit. Now, critics have called this a populist move, citing that the 155 million ringgit could have been better spent to improve public transport infrastructures and facilities, which has been plagued by frequent breakdowns. I think we see this on Twitter and social media every other day, if not every day. There's always a lift that's not working, an escalator that's been out of commission for months, if not years. So all these questions come up. So the question that we're asking is, will free rides restore public confidence to use public transport amidst crippling traffic jams as the economy reopens? Or is this simply a ploy to win votes as GE15 looms?
For reactions to the announcement and maybe some answers to our problems with regards to our broader public transport policy, we have on the line with us Azif Azuddin, an independent urban mobility researcher. Good morning, Azif. Now, free public transport for a month. Sounds great, right? One would think that with rising fuel prices, traffic jams, cars getting expensive, the shift towards public transport wouldn't require much government incentive. So why are they offering this?
Let's first of all call a spade, right?
The free fares in all likelihood is a pre-election pork barrel. I mean, essentially, it's a vote-winning measure, right? Populist, as you mentioned. But let's think about it in the sense that even if it is in the likelihood that it isn't, we have to consider the cost of taking public transport, right? And why people need to be incentivized to take public transport with or without free fares. Now, you have to answer two major questions, right? The first is it the most time efficient? And secondly, is the experience pleasant or at least bearable? Public transport has to compete with, you know, private vehicle use, you know, cars, motorcycles, in these two categories in terms of time, cost and experience. So the question is whether or not free fares are enough to convince, one, existing users to continue using public transport, two, those who are on the fence to kind of switch over from cars, motorcycles to use public transport, and three, curious users, you know, who want to try it out because of these free fares and hopefully be enticed, right, and see what the benefits are. And for me, as long as the question of time efficiency and a good experience using public transport is not answered, and which it isn't, right, why do we have free fares anyway?
Right. Okay. So you're saying that as the system as it stands right now may not be enough to attract people, even with the free fares.
It might entice curious users, but it may not. But those who will start using it will start seeing that it may come with a cost, whether it's time or whether or not it's just a bad experience using it. Yes.
Right. So the stickiness of customers using that is not guaranteed with the free fares. It could just be a flash in the pan for that one month. You'll see ridership go up. But then after that, if things don't change, we're not going to really see public transport use increase. Maybe we can talk a little bit about the problems that we're seeing with public transport at the moment. We're looking at the question of reliability. There have been a whole spate of breakdowns on the LRT. What do you think is the root cause of this public transport breakdown?
Yeah. So last week, the Minister of Transport indicated, you know, that they found damaged carriages, right, in repair. He also mentioned that they were now going to take a lot of preventative maintenance for safety factors. Now, this suggests a few things, right? The first is that the current fleet of coaches that they have hadn't undergone maintenance for a long time, presumably because of the pandemic, right? When the country was in the lockdown. But secondly, and I think more importantly, is that there might be funding issues that has resulted in the carriages not being able to get the refurbishment necessary. And of course, this is just my educated guess, right? But when you combine the lack of operational funds necessary to run this maintenance, but also the inconsistency of doing the maintenance, this is where you end up with carriages breaking down, right? Mm-hmm. And when your carriages break down, you have reduced capacity, which ultimately leads to two things: disrupted services and crowd buildup, both which affect the public transport experience severely. as you can see now.
So I'm just curious, right? Does this mean actually the model, at least the financing model, when we talk about funds to actually restore, at least have the capex to ensure that the train services work on time, is our financing model flawed to begin with?
It has always been flawed because the way I look at it, right, is that the government is willing to put in capital expenditure for public transportation, but more importantly, is they don't put in enough money for operational expenditure. Now, operational expenditure is what you need to get the services running. And this is where I think Prasarana years ago has indicated that the OPEX has to be run from the revenues that they get from ticketing, from advertising revenues, which is not enough because public transport in general is a loss-making enterprise and it should be treated instead as a public good, right? You're supposed to fund CAPEX, fund OPEX, operational expenditure, not really CAPEX necessarily, yeah. And maintenance should be part of operational expenditure.
So how then do we resolve this though? Because we do know that the government is fiscally constrained. Is there a way to rectify this? Is there a country that we can look to for a better model?
I think Singapore is a very good example of basically pumping money into into OPEX, right? Where they knew they have to put in like over 1 billion, if I'm not mistaken, into improving their infrastructure, right? Whether it's the maintenance of bus infrastructure or bus assets, or even rail infrastructure, right? And I think as a government, you have to recognize that a public good is a loss-making enterprise, but you're doing public good. Sorry, you put money into public goods because you know that you reap benefits beyond just the... You reap benefits, right, beyond just the numbers on the ledger. So you have to think of public goods as... If I put money into this enterprise, it will have further better effects socially, economically, and otherwise.
Mm. Can I get your thoughts on the Putrajaya line itself, Azif, in terms of how significant this extension is in the current network? Do you see it having any, I guess, impact on maybe relieving congestion on the roads?
Right. So for me, it's significant, especially for traffic coming from Putrajaya. Now, currently, there are two ways to get from Putrajaya to KL, right? Yeah, the first one, you have the Max Highway that costs about 15 ringgit for a return trip daily, not including KL's inner highways, right, which will cost you more. And it takes 1.5 hours on an average day during peak traffic. The second option that we have currently as well is the ERL or the KL Transit. That's 30 ringgit. That's double the price, by the way. 30 ringgit for a return trip, but the trip is much shorter, right, at 30 minutes. But now we have the Putrajaya line, which takes 45 minutes from Putrajaya to KL, and they will cost about, if you take on My50, right, if you take aside from the fact that there's free fares, it costs 1.50 a day under the My50 plan. Now, right now, it's a bit too early to tell if the Putrajaya line will impact travel behavior significantly, but certainly the opening of the line will give Putrajaya residents a more efficient and cost-effective option to get to the centre, which is always great.
Now, Azif, I want to ask your opinion in terms of how can we relieve, what are the short-term measures to relieve the traffic jams that we are seeing on the roads in the Klang Valley? Are there
right.
any?
A lot of that is with regards to engineering problems, right? Because right now the cause of congestion really is because there are a lot of cars on the road.
Mm.
And to solve it engineering-wise, is people who love cars and pro-car policy would say build more highways. But obviously we know that's not exactly the solution because of induced demand, right? You build more highways, more people will go to use them with cars. So honestly, really, it's about improving first-class mile infrastructure. You have to make sure, you have to incentivize people to use more buses, more trains. But in order to do that, you need to put money into important items like buses, right? Putting BRTs, for example, dedicated bus lanes from certain areas into the city center. And you have to make public transport enticing enough for people to consider switching over from cars into their buses, for example. And for me, Jakarta is the best example of a great first last mile infrastructure, right? Everyone loves, everyone uses the BRT because it's a much better alternative than taking the car and getting stuck in traffic.
Thank you for your time. That was Azif Azuddin, independent urban mobility researcher, giving us some tips maybe in terms of how to improve the traffic situation in the Klang Valley and also looking at all the issues plaguing the MRT, LRT, because we've seen lots of pictures of people being stuck at the stations, no trains, waiting desperately to get to board, but it just the frequency isn't up to par.
So those aren't things that are gonna be fixed by free fares, right? So you can have these free fares for the 1 month, but as Azif said, if you're not able to tackle the number one efficiency of travel time and also making the ride pleasant, it's not really gonna get customers to stick to using public transport to get to work. It could just be a 1 month thing, maybe just a one off thing, like one day they'll try it, but they're not gonna come back if they don't enjoy the journey.
Yeah. So the 1 month as a concept works if you want to drive traffic, literally traffic, onto the public transport system. But that must be followed by reliability, efficiency. And if that is not felt by the commuter, he is going to just give up. He or she is going to give up and get back on in his or her car or motorbike and say enough. But that leads to all the congestion that we are already seeing on the road. To me, it's not an easy solution. It requires so many policy changes, whether it's our auto policy, our EV policy, our public transport policy, even in terms of our fiscal spend, where we want to spend our money. All those are, conversations that we must have, and the government must look more seriously. But up next, the KLCI opening, as well as Market Insights with Kingsley Jones of Jevons Global. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.